Picking up with theology proper, let's remind ourselves where we are. In the discussion of theology proper, we're looking at who God is, God the Father specifically. This is when we talk about many of his attributes. So we started with the concept that there is a God, that there are these origin arguments for the existence of something, most of which point to intelligent design. But that doesn't get us to a Jesus. And so we have to understand that within apologetics, you can make a defense for the existence of God, which is fine, but someone believing that there is a God is not sufficient for salvation. Salvation is through faith in Christ. And so now you have to understand that there is a God, and so it's a step in the right direction, but it is not sufficient. Winning an argument that someone suddenly says, yes, I believe there's a God, does not mean that there is salvation for them. Prime example. How many of y'all have seen the movie, the first one, God's Not Dead, with the Newsboys? Y'all seen that?
Yeah.
All right.
I cried a little bit.
Yeah. Okay, and that movie, you know, pushes for that. But this is a prime example, and if you remember movies like I do, you know, this might click. If not, watch it again sometime and make these connections. The entire premise of the movie is college student is trying to argue for the existence of God because he doesn't want to affirm that God is dead, right? That's the premise of the movie, hence they call it God's Not Dead. So that's the premise of the movie. But then at the end of the movie, you have this Chinese exchange student who now is professing faith in Jesus. Y'all remember that? Okay, so that's... You got a big leap from there is the existence of a God to I believe in his that he has a son who has been here and who has made atonement for our sins. There's a big level of information between those two, and that movie does a terrible job of that. Now, I understand it has its place. I just want you to be introspective enough that when you watch movies that we're looking at those things. So, believing that there is no God or that there is a God, we're going to talk about a few anti-theistic theories. Again, anti meaning against, theistic meaning anti-God or anti-God exists theories. The first one is atheistic. Now, atheistic literally means no God, or this is the belief that there is no God. Anyone know a famous atheist? Someone who is, they proudly, who? Yeah, Bill Nye's a prime example of an atheist. What's the name of the guy in the wheelchair?
Stephen Hawking.
Yeah, Stephen Hawking. Yeah, that's another one. For those of you who enjoy pop culture, Sheldon from Big Bang Theory, okay, he would be an atheist. All right, so there are atheists, but then there are several types of atheists. And the first one is the practical atheist. This is the person who doesn't get involved in the theological arguments of things. This is just the person who lives as if there is no God. They don't get into arguments on whether or not there cannot be a God. Okay, this is more of, I just live, and I'm not concerned about whether or not there is a God. Then there is the dogmatic. Dogmatic is more of the Stephen Hawking, more of the Bill Nye types, where they openly reject. They have this mission in life to reject or to denounce the existence of a God. And so that's the dogmatic atheist. And then there's the virtual atheist, which rejects the God that is in their terminology. So to kind of clarify some of these, they all are atheists. But the practical atheist, this is where most of your peers would end up. They do not care, they do not believe that there is a God, and therefore they live their lives according to, I don't know, don't really care, not into it. All right, the dogmatic one, they're more the scientific branch that are going to push and say and make arguments that there is no God. And then the virtual is the, you know what, I say there's no God, and then, so it's kind of the middle one between the practical and the dogmatic. But that's the atheistic, which says there is no God. A, meaning no, and then theist or theism, okay, that there is no God. Then we get to agnostic. Now, the word agnostic, maybe you know what this is. If you are familiar with the book of 1 John, many scholars believe John writes to combat this theology or this perspective with fringe group in Christianity called Gnosticism. Any of you ever heard the word Gnosticism before?
Yes.
All right. Do you remember, any of you know what it is or refers to? Not quite. So Gnosticism is all about this special knowledge, that in order to truly be saved, you have to have this very special knowledge that's more than what is revealed in Scripture. And so that's kind of what John, you know, many believe John's writing against in the first century, is that, no, you don't need some special knowledge. What you need is faith in Christ. And that, you know, that's why he writes, "These things write I unto you that you may know that you have eternal life," okay, by believing in who Christ is. So Gnosticism is all about the special knowledge. So anytime you see the word G-N-O, okay, L-S, all right, Gnosti, or Gnosticism, or agnostic, that's the word know or knowledge. So A being the negative, so it's there is no knowledge. So maybe you understood the word Gnostic, agnostic, as you don't know if there's a God. So atheist says there is no God. Agnostic says, I don't know. There's lack of knowledge or information from my within my realm of thinking. So the agnostic, they're the followers of pragmatism. Now someone help me out. What does pragmatism mean? If you are, huh? Yeah, what does pragmatic mean? Pragmatic and pragmatism, same word, different, you know, usage. What does it mean that you're doing something that's pragmatic? Good, it's practical. All right, so whatever is practical, it's good to know that hand surgery didn't affect your brain. All right, so whatever is practical, that's what we're going with. And you guys understand this, because you live your lives going with the flow, right? You know what causes strife at home, you know what causes strife at your workplace, in the classroom, and so, hey, what's pragmatic? If you go to a public school, it is pragmatic for you not to speak out that there is a God. Because the official position is that there isn't one. If you go to a Christian school, pragmatism says you believe in a God. At Fayetteville Christian, are there students that would go with the flow that there is a God, but you know they don't believe that? I know there aren't Berean. Every school you go to, there is what is pragmatic, because that's what's simple. So agnostics are followers of pragmatism. And their belief is it has to be proved scientifically, because if God is not, then he's not included in their lives. And it's the idea of, well, I don't know that there's a God. No one has demonstrated to me verifiable proof that he exists. Therefore, I don't know that he does. I'm not saying he doesn't, but you don't have enough evidence to convince me that he does. So that's where the agnostic follows or falls. Within there, another anti-theistic theory is the theory of evolution. And we've talked about this already, so we won't spend a ton of time here. And that is that there is no supernatural beginning to life. Because if there's a supernatural beginning, then you have to something that is super or above nature. That's what supernatural means, in case you didn't know. All right? Super being above, and then nature. Okay? Supernatural. Beginning of life. And if God didn't make me, then I don't have to answer to him. That's the root of every one of these theories, young people, is it's all about accountability. You know this with your parents. You know this with anyone who you are an associate with. If you're going to live in my house, you have to follow my rules. You know that, okay? Elise was talking about work. Where do you work, Elise? All right, you work at Papa Murphy's. It's pizza, in case you didn't know. All right, and they have a set of rules, don't they, Elise? They have a set of rules for you as a worker, don't they? Yeah, they do. Are you allowed to comb your hair over the pizzas? The answer is okay. Are you allowed to fix your hair while you're preparing pizzas? No, you cannot. All right? You understand that. You understand that there are certain rules, okay? Because there are guidelines. Now, whether or not they call them rules, okay, you understand that. But you understand any entity has a policy for participating. And if you're not going to abide by their policy, you're not going to maintain employment there. Whether that's whether or not you wear your uniform, whether or not you show up on time, whether or not you're spitting in customers' food, okay, you understand at a restaurant there are certain rules like that. You're not going to stay employed long at a business if you don't follow any of the rules. You're not going to avoid jail for very long if you don't follow any rules of our government. Okay, we understand this. See, and that's the problem we run into is we understand this on so many levels. Ethan doesn't question it because he knows his parents have established the rules. If he doesn't want to follow the rules, well, your options are what? Leave. Okay? Maybe you've had some of those intense moments of fellowship with mom and dad. Maybe you haven't. Maybe you've witnessed your siblings have them. So we understand that. That's the entire premise behind all of these anti-theistic theories. If you can either convince or live pragmatically as though there is no God, then there is no being greater than you that you are accountable to. It all roots in accountability. Also, we have polytheism. This is not as much around today. You see this as a largely influential element in historical context, like the Egyptians, like the Greeks, like the Romans. Any of you Percy Jackson fans? Yeah. So Percy Jackson, which, you know, I enjoy those. Any of you like the movie Hercules?
Oh, I love it.
All right, you know. So Greek mythology, Roman mythology, that's polytheism. And so that's very much the belief in many gods. How many of you are Marvel fans? Okay. Well, to believe, I know you don't, but to believe in Loki and Thor, they are both gods, that there are many gods, okay? So, which sidebar, by the way, if you haven't watched the first episode of Loki, it's pretty good. All right. Yeah, there's only one episode out, but it's excellent. Loki is... No, it's not a spoiler. It's just an observable fact. Loki is by far better than both Falcon and Winter Soldier and WandaVision. Oh, no. It's good. All right. Anyway, back to polytheism. We could talk about superheroes later. So, in modern times, this is very much the idea that Jehovah and Allah and Buddha are all God. A couple months ago, I actually think, was it at the inauguration, that there was someone who prayed, and it was like a very public prayer that, you know, made its way through the internet. But it's the belief that all gods are God, that you can believe in any god. One modern version of this is the Baha'i faith. So it kind of pops up everywhere. And then you get into the concept of pantheism. And pantheism shows up, and there's a movie that has this all throughout it. And maybe you know what this is. In fact, maybe even you two, we talked about it when you were in middle school in American history. And that is the idea that everything can be a god, and God can be in everything. To give you a little bit of a, you know, a hint as to what, you know, I think of when I think of pantheism is... the concept of, you know, how high does the redwood grow? You know, like you'll never know if you cut it down. So can you paint with all the colors of the wind? Yeah, Pocahontas. Okay. Pocahontas is very much pantheistic, that God is in everything. Therefore, you know, you have all of these different things that you have to. So this is where the polytheism and pantheism are different. Polytheism says there are many deities. Pantheism is that God is these objects. Does that make sense in the differences? So pantheism is going to push more towards, well, we have to take, you know, Mother Earth. That kind of a concept is very much pantheistic, as opposed to there are these gods that are, you know, deistic. So materialistic is the idea that matter is the cause of all, and that is very much a pantheistic idea. Hylozoism is that matter has physical proper, psychiacal. Why can I not read this morning? Psychical properties. And it's kind of the idea of that there is this connection between the things that you see and your brain and, you know, how you actually interact. Neutralism is that everything is just kind of neutral and that there is nothing. Idealism, you see this a lot in humanism, and that is that the human mind is the supreme being, supreme leader, as it were. And then philosophical mysticism is that all reality is one item. So these are kind of some fringe items. You won't necessarily deal with a whole lot of them. But here's another one is deism. Now this is one you should probably be most familiar with because this is that there is a God. So this is, it's not anti-theistic. They believe that there is a God. But this God is very far off and he's not involved and is unconcerned. He is this clock winder that he just sets everything in motion and then sees how it rolls and doesn't concern himself with the affairs of men. One of the best known deists that you regularly interact with is Thomas Jefferson. The Declaration of Independence. Right? Yes, he believes that there is a God, but he does not believe that he intervenes in the affairs of men. Now, one individual, a contemporary of Thomas Jefferson that struggled with this, but really was still a deist, is Benjamin Franklin. And he's quoted for stating that a government cannot rise without the help of God. But yet it still was not enough for him to leave his deistic thought processes and confess faith in a risen Savior. And if we're honest, this is where most of your generation, and when I say your generation, I'm talking your peers. The ones who are associated with church, the ones who are associated with Christian families, this is where we live most of the time. We believe there is a God. You wouldn't go so far as to say, no, there's no God. Like, you know, you see evidence. You have received the same general revelation that everyone else has. And that is, obviously these things had to come from somewhere. There's got to be a God. But is he involved? Is he connected? Is he real? Is he concerned with what goes on in my life? And when you don't believe that he is involved, all you have is a deistic perspective, that there is a God, but that he's not necessarily connected to you. So we're going to look at a couple verses here. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians, because this is what we have to understand. And this rolls into the apologetics argument. This rolls into our conversation on these anti-theistic theories, is that we have to understand the difference between what people actually see and what they believe. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll read verses 4 through 6. He says, well, let me back up. I'll just back up to verse 1. Therefore, having this ministry, by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled. So Paul's saying, even if the word that I'm preaching is veiled or if it's covered, it's only veiled or covered or hidden to those who are perishing or dying. Because in their case, this is verse 4, in their case, the ones who do not believe the gospel, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So anyone who does not believe the gospel, it is because Satan has blinded them. The God of this world blinds them. For what we proclaim, verse 5, is not ourselves, but we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So there are those who are in darkness and they've been blinded. and they've been blinded because of the god of this world. So those who struggle with whether or not there is a God, who struggle with whether or not he is involved in the affairs of mankind, they've been blinded by Satan. And they make their own sinful choices because of their sin nature, and the gospel is what is supposed to shine the light. Because Paul says, we proclaim, we preach, we testify, not what God has done in us, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servant for Jesus' sake. For God is the one who said to let that light shine out of darkness, and has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So you have to understand, if you do not, or you know someone that does not believe that there is a God, that does not believe that he's involved in the affairs of mankind, it's because he's been blinded by Satan. The only way they come out of that is through faith in Christ. So you need to disconnect in your brain the concept that you can believe or understand these things about Jesus and not be saved. If we can get to the point where we understand, no. If you know that Christ is risen from the grave and you know that he has atoned for your sins and your faith is in that, then it is directly connected to your salvation, and that is against what is set in the course of this world naturally by Satan. And so I have to understand that if Josh is an atheist and I'm trying to convince him that there is a God, the only time he's going to believe that there is a God is if he becomes a believer. Because as long as he's not believing in the Son of God, he's not truly believing in God. And we like to live somewhere in the middle. Well, I believe there's a God in that deistic realm. But the fact of the matter is, if you live practically as a deist, you're not really living as though you believe there's a God. You just like the idea of there being something else out there when you die. But you don't truly believe in it. And so we have to understand that it's the gospel that changes us. So it's not logical arguments, and it's not presenting apologetics in such a way as to convince someone otherwise. It is the gospel of Christ that opens eyes. And we have to recognize that. And you have to understand that. That if you're not in Christ, your eyes are not opened. What you have is a general knowledge because information has been presented to you.